Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Lent, and we are going to be reading Psalm 23. Okay, this doesn't come up in the church calendar very often where I won't preach it, because I love Psalm 23. It's my favorite psalm, and not that that really matters. This is a lot of your favorite psalm too. This is very well known. This is a very important psalm, and I chose it today because it's very comforting, okay? And the pastor mentioned how there's a lot of people going through a lot of things right now, and probably some of you have your game face on, like he said. You put your game face on and you come to church. You look tough. Well, there's things going on that you need to be encouraged. And this psalm will do that for us. And so I'll read it then. I'm going to read it from the King James Version. Actually, Pastor Jesse told me that. He suggested that. He said a lot of people have memorized this. And it just sounds odd if we read it in another version. So that's what we'll do. We're going to read it from the King James. And I'll read Psalm 23. In Jesus' name, you can stay seated. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, sanctify us in the truth, for your word is everlasting truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. So this psalm on the heading in our Bibles, it says that this is a psalm of David. And this is important because David was a shepherd. If you remember the story of David, when he was anointed to be the king, the prophet Samuel was called to anoint him because God had rejected King Saul from being king because he was disobedient. God told Samuel to go to Jesse's house in Bethlehem, and one of his sons would be the king. And as the story goes, there was 8 sons, and they started from the oldest, thinking it would have been the oldest one. And they went right on down the line, and they got down 7 of the sons, and it wasn't any of them. Everyone that went before him, Samuel said, this isn't the one God has chosen. And then he asked Jesse, he said, do you have any more sons? And he said, well, we have one more. He's out in the field keeping watch over the sheep. And he said, bring him here. We won't sit down until he's here. And they went and got David, and they had him pass before Samuel. And the Lord told Samuel, this is the king. And so he was anointed, and he did become the king. God's spirit came on David, and as the story goes, then he eventually became king when Saul died. And so David was the one who penned this psalm. And this is a very beautiful psalm. And this psalm speaks to David's personal experience being a shepherd. David could very much relate to these things that he's talking about here, because he had lived this life. He knew exactly what it meant to be a shepherd. And this psalm is interesting because the first 5 words in it, the Lord is my shepherd, are essentially all that the psalm says. It's just expanding on that. Really, this says the Lord is my shepherd, and then the whole rest of it is telling us what that means. And it does such a beautiful job. This psalm, it's like eye-wateringly beautiful. It's like classic. I mean, this is, like we said, the most well-known psalm. Everybody knows this. and for good reason. And so, first of all, we want to look at why a shepherd? Like, God is a shepherd. What does that mean? Well, we probably have some kind of a concept of what a shepherd is. They keep watch over sheep. Sheep herd. You know, they're watching sheep out there in the fields. And so, but the shepherds in the Bible are a little bit different probably than the shepherds that we know of nowadays. These shepherds would actually do something different. They would lead their sheep out from the, like, from the village or wherever. They would have to go actually find pasture land to graze their sheep, because over in that place in the Middle East, there's not any, really not much rain. There's not really many green pastures. And they had to go searching for places to graze their animals. And so for 9 months out of the year, it's really dry over there. So they had to go find these different places. And so that's really kind of where this whole thing leads us. It's like God is leading us out. And so this is important because God leads us through our life. God is our shepherd. And that's what it's telling us. He's leading us out. And another thing, what it means to be a shepherd is that being a shepherd is a very dangerous thing. We might think of it in terms of like a nice little hobby farm in America, you know, where we have some animals and it's all cute and you put some pictures and you put it on Instagram or something like that. But that's totally the wrong picture of what it is to be a shepherd. And this time, being a shepherd is very dangerous. So it's like you leave, from the moment you leave the village, the safety of the village and the town, and you go out with your flock, you are alone. You're out in these big, trackless, like wilderness, big spaces out there in the wilderness, and you're looking for pasture land for your sheep. And there's a lot of dangers out there. So there's like thieves, there's wild animals, snakes, water shortage, like loose rocks and like canyons and craggy places that the sheep could get stuck or hurt. There's furnace-like heat out there. It's that we're picturing in the Middle East. The sun is hot over there. So those are all kind of some of the potential threats that would be threatening them. So not a really safe place to be. And the most important thing is that they didn't have any other form of protection. The sheep are relying on their shepherd to keep them safe. When they're out there, like all they have, literally all they have, is the shepherd to keep them safe. And so that's like for us, when we're going through life, all we have is the Lord. He is our source of protection. He's the one who's going to find us food and who's going to provide for us. And so that's really what it's saying. It's the Lord is so important. We need Him. And so that's what he says, that the Lord is my shepherd. So there's so much said in those five words that really we could spend the rest of our life thinking about this. But then he begins to expand on that. He says that I shall not want, meaning I won't have any needs. That's really what that means. And sometimes we have a tendency to push the envelope on this a little, because we think that God should provide for everything that we want, everything that we can think of that would be nice for us to have. Well, God provides for what we need. And that's why in this psalm here, it says that he's talking about like pasture and water and different things that, like the very basic necessities. So this tells us that God provides for all the things that we actually need. Our basic needs, God will provide. And he makes us to lie down. This is an interesting thing because it's not really translated too accurately, because it almost gives the idea that there's force, like the shepherd is like making his sheep lie down, but really, a better way to say it would be like, he settles me down. Isn't that a nice thing to think of, that God settles us down? He brings us into like a place where there's green grass, which, by the way, like I already said, is very, very hard to find. You don't find green pastures all over there. But God can find them. And it's the same way for us. Like I said, we have our game face on maybe here. We're out in the wilderness. We're in danger. You know, we feel like the way our life is going right now, things are all over the place, and we have no place to even relax and settle down. We can't even, like, get a rest and get a break. Well, the Lord has a green pasture for you. The Lord can find a green pasture. He can settle you down there, and He can give you a place to take a break from all the danger and fear and all the threats that are around you in your life. The Lord can find this green pasture. He can bring you there. He settles you down and lets you eat. You know, that's what God does for us. That's what it means when the Lord is our shepherd. He's going to do this. And He does this for us. And then He also leads us beside still waters. So, sheep won't drink from like a river that's going really fast, rushing. They have to have like a really calm water. That's the only place they'll drink. In fact, I was reading a book. This man named Kenneth Bailey, he wrote a book about the 23rd Psalm, and it's really interesting. It's called The Lord is My Shepherd. But anyway, he says in there that, because this guy, Kenneth Bailey, lived over in the Middle East for 30 years. He lived among these shepherds, so he has a lot of knowledge about this. And it was really fascinating because he said he's seen it happen where sheep will, they'll come to a river, like they see a river and they're obviously thirsty and they'll go rushing over there, like, but the water's moving fast, but they catch the first glimpse of water, they go running up to it, but then they realize it's going fast and they all just stand there and look at it and they won't be able to drink from it because they're too scared. And so that's why it's important that we get led beside the still waters. And so the shepherd actually will have to, sometimes he would dig like a little channel, and so the water would kind of go out from the river a little bit, and it would make a place where the sheep could actually drink. And so that's what God does for us. He brings us beside a still water, and He even makes water still and causes us to drink. So God is able to calm things down. God is able to calm our life down. No matter what it is that we have facing us, there's hostile enemies all around us and things that threaten us. But God is able to bring us to a place where we can settle down, we can relax, we can drink from this water, we can actually be refreshed, we can be rejuvenated, we can get energy, and all the things that we desperately need. God provides this for us. He does this for each of us. And so I was thinking, like, what is your hostile environment? Each of us probably has a different one. Like, we're out in this dangerous place. There's things that threaten each of us. You know, maybe it's the loss of someone that you love. Someone you know has passed away. And that's what you're dealing with right now. Or sometimes it can just be like a deep aching inside of us that we can't even express. We just have, you know, we're carrying something deep inside of us that we don't know how to express. Or sometimes it's sin, like we're trapped in sin, and that's what's threatening us. There's so many things that can be our enemy and hostile to us. But in the face of all of these, God is able to cause us to sit down, to lie down, to eat grass, to be refreshed, all these sort of things. God has power over these. You know, He is our safety. He's our security through all the bad, through all these dangerous things. The Lord does this all for us. He restores my soul, it says. And again, this is kind of like when the sheep goes astray, because that happens sometimes. A sheep gets lost. They take a wrong road and they go on the wrong path. And then they get lost. And you know what happens when a sheep gets lost? They get scared, they actually get paralyzed. They just start shaking. And they just like, they'll find a bush and they'll just go hide under a bush and just sit there and shake. And they'll make this crying and bleeding noise and they'll just sit there. They don't know what to do. And because of the noise they're making, the predators would easily come in and kill them. And some wolf or something might have a nice snack. But that's the danger of getting lost. But the shepherd, Jesus talked about the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd, and he leaves his sheep, and he goes and he finds the lost sheep. So that's always that the shepherd goes and finds the sheep. And so he restores us. He brings our life back, and he brings us back to the right pathway and leads us in the paths of righteousness. So it's like, so we don't go down the wrong path. A lot of times we wander away, we get lost. Sometimes we're not paying attention, and the next thing you know, we're doing something we never thought we would do. We're going to a place we never thought we would go, and it's like, and we find ourselves lost. Well, God comes in all those places to find us, and he wants to bring us back from our sin and from our being lost, and he brings us back to the right way again. And so we have a good shepherd. He's always out there looking for us. And if you feel like me, sometimes you feel like you're always getting lost. But God, he's always looking for us, and he repeatedly brings us back and sets us on his way. And so then, even in the valley of the shadow of death, and this is interesting because this psalm, it follows this is Hebrew poetry, okay? So this is like, it follows a structure that they call, it's called, the fancy word for it is inverted parallelism. So it's like, it goes A, B, C, C, B, A. So basically you start at A and you end up at A again, but the C is in the middle, and that's the climax of the story. So that's where we're at. This is the climax of the story. And then you're going to notice as you get to the end of the psalm, we're going to kind of be back where we started. And it's very beautiful poetry that Hebrew uses. And so this is the climax of the story, that in the valley of the shadow of death, God is with us. When things are at their very worst, God is with us. And I'll let you imagine what your own valley of the shadow of death is. You know, when things are the worst you could possibly imagine, it's like, couldn't they get any worse? God is with us in the middle of that, in the darkness, when you can't see very far, when you're scared, all of these sort of things. We fear no evil because God is with us. And so that's like the whole gist of what this is saying. It's like, as bad as things could ever possibly get, it doesn't matter. None of that matters because we have safety and security when the Lord is with us. And so, again, that doesn't matter what you're going through. This will always be true. Jesus took care of all of this on his cross. You know, so it's like, everything that he's done for us, we don't even have to be scared of death. We don't have to be scared of any of that. Jesus, he took it all. And so we can just not be scared. We can just not be fearful, no matter what. And so this is good. And it says that thy rod and staff, they comfort me. The shepherd would have these different tools, his rod and his staff. The rod was, I guess, used for protection, like he would use it to protect the sheep. If, say, an animal came or something, he could drive off the animal, or he could hit it, or whatever he had to do. And so this is like telling us that God's going to protect us from our enemies. And this is good because, guess what? Sheep, they're defenseless animals. They have no like natural defense that they can defend themselves. Cats have claws and dogs have teeth. Horses can kick and bite. Bears can claw and bite and crush, all these kind of things. Deer can just run. They can outrun their predators. But sheep, they don't have these kind of abilities. They can't fight off a predator, or they can't outrun a predator. they can bot a little bit with their heads, but they usually just do that to each other, which is kind of interesting. Because we're sheep, and sometimes we do that to each other. But so the thing is, their only security then, really, when they get out in these wide open spaces where there's all this danger, their only security is their shepherd. That's all they got. And that's the same for us. Our only security as Christians in this world is God, is our Lord Jesus Christ, what he's done for us. That's all we got, and that's all we need. We don't need anything more than that. But that is our security. And the sooner we learn that, the better off we are. Because we won't look to ourselves to try to fix it. It's like, no, look to the shepherd. The shepherd's going to be the one to take care of you. Like, we got to get that. He's going to be the one to find us food, to find us places to rest and eat and keep us safe. And so, yeah, he has a rod, he has a staff, and those are the things that he uses to protect us. And they actually are very comforting for us. His staff would be used to, they had like a crook on it. And they would actually, a lot of times, would be able to pick up a little sheep, a lamb with it, and pick them up and move them, or different things like that. And they would use it to guide the sheep. And so the shepherd, he uses these things to help us. And he loves his sheep. And so now, in the psalm here, the imagery switches a little bit as you get to, verse 5. We're heading towards the end of it, which is really kind of getting back towards the beginning. It says that, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So now we move from a shepherd, all of a sudden now we're at a festive dinner or whatever with a host and some guests. And so he's using another image here in our minds. And this is also important. The first thing I want to say about this is that we don't understand this. Okay, we live in a different culture. And it's hard for us to really appreciate what he's saying. Because in Middle Eastern culture, they would value community and hospitality, this kind of setting a meal for somebody, they would value it way, way higher than we do. Nowadays, like in America where we live, it's like we pretty much, if we want to show our wealth, display our wealth, what do? You build a big house, drive a nice car, you know, these sort of things where your wealth would be displayed. Well, in this culture, they would have a huge meal. If you wanted to impress somebody, you'd throw a big dinner, and you'd invite these people over, and you'd treat them just great. You'd actually have probably like three times as much food as all your guests could eat. And you'd put on a huge meal, and you'd give your guests a royal treatment. And this would show that you are a very rich person, that you have some means. And so this is what they would do. And so this is telling us really how rich God is, that God has, he has everything. And that he's willing to have a huge dinner, to put it on, and invite us over as guests. And here's the thing, he doesn't even care if it's in the presence of his enemies. So that's how God is. When God gives his grace, it's liberal. He pours it out on us. He doesn't care who's watching. You can see examples of this in the New Testament. When Jesus, when he's over there visiting the Simon the Pharisee, I think it is, and the woman comes and washes his feet and all that kind of thing. And all the people are like, if he only knew who was touching him. If he only knew. Well, God doesn't. Jesus doesn't care. He does it in front of everybody. When he wants to give grace to a sinner, he does not care. He just pours it out. And people might have a problem with it. That's fine. He does not care. In the presence of his enemies, he's going to do this thing. Another example is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He's a sinner. But Jesus goes to his house, and he actually stays the night there with Zacchaeus. And the people grumbled about that. They said, He went to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. They could not believe it. But that's how God is. God, he does these kind of things. He doesn't really care what anyone thinks. He's going to be who he is. He's going to be gracious. And he's going to be gracious to even the worst of sinners. And so that's good news for us. And then we're being followed. It says that goodness and mercy shall follow us. It's kind of good to be followed by that, right? If you're ever driving, if you thought someone was following you, you ever get that? It's kind of an eerie feeling. Like, is this guy following me? And there's someone behind you just following you. Well, in this case, it's a good thing because we have the Lord leading us. Our shepherd is in front of us. And his goodness and his mercy are behind us. Like, bringing up the rear, they're protecting us from behind. And so this is a good thing. This is comforting. This whole thing, this whole psalm is meant to be a huge comfort to God's children. And like I said in the beginning, whatever you're going through right now, know this, that the Lord is with you. He's with you. He is your security. He is your comfort. You will make it through this. Even if you're in the middle of that valley, he's going to get you through there. There's no reason for you to be afraid. You will fear no evil because the Lord is with you. And then David says at the end of the psalm, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it's again kind of back where we started. We're back realizing that we're with the Lord. And we're going to be there forever. That this is not just a thing that's just for a little while. Like, he's going to get you through this hurdle, but then you're on your own. Nope. We're with him forever. He's with us forever. And so, I really wanted to comfort each one of you. Whatever you're going through, the Lord knows. You know how he knows? Because he's your shepherd. And he's leading you. In Jesus' name.